Good morning, 10 o'clock. So glad to see you. I'm Talbot Davis, the pastor here at Good Shepherds United Methodist, and especially glad you're here for the week three of this series 167. We've been talking, honestly, asking serious questions. We have you at most for an hour a week. The other 167 hours in a week, what are your sources of wisdom and information and insight? And the series began a couple of weeks ago with that kind of fundamental learning that the wisdom of this world is foolishness in the sight of God. And then last week, week number two, in a message called The Oldest Religion in the World, the kind of the bottom line, the landing place was, you don't know better because he really does know best. And then today, for the third week in the series, it's called We Are All Just Prisoners Here of Our Own Device. And some of you may know that reference, and others of you, I will pray for you, and it will be clear a little bit later. We're all just prisoners here of our own device. If you have your Bible with you, you might want to open your Bible to the New Testament book of 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5. And if your Bible's not here, you can open up your worship program, because this is one of those messages. Usually, a message really drills down into one section of Scripture, but this is doing a little bit of jumping around. The other place is Matthew chapter 6. And what we did was we put both of these sections inside of your bulletin for you, so you'd be able to see them for yourself. We do that because we believe that this library, and I don't know if you've heard this before, if you've been a Good Shepherd before, you have, but this is not a book, it is a library. A lot of authors written over a long span of time and a lot of different writing styles. And 2 Corinthians is a letter and Matthew is a biography. So even in what we're looking at today, we're getting experience of different sections of the library. But the other thing that we believe about this library is that it is the only library of its kind on this planet. This is the only library into which God poured his truth onto its pages, and he put its wisdom into its words. We believe, you may not believe this yet, and that's okay, but we don't want to give you a bait and switch. We want to be honest with who we are and what we believe. We believe in leadership of this church that this is inspired and eternal and true. And because we believe that, when we talk about it, this might seem weird, but it's what we do. It's our way of just saying, thank you, Lord. And sometimes we lift up our phones, if that's where your Bible is, or the program, or your Bible. It's just our way, Lord, thank you. We're glad to place ourselves under the authority of your word. And we know, Lord, we know there's all kinds of power that's loaded up in your word, and it's just waiting and ready to be unleashed in our midst in these moments. Amen? And I don't ever give a message like this without asking you to pray with me and pray for me. One other thing that's kind of cool today, you may not know this. Usually, we have a Zor Road campus that's meeting at 10 o'clock. Usually, the 8:30 sermon from here gets broadcast over there. But once a series or so, we like to have the campus pastor over there, Chris Thayer. And if you know, to know Chris is to love Chris. And he is preaching this message live over there at Zor. So I want to invite you all. Yeah, you can applaud for that. It would be nice if you would applaud for me every once in a while. No. No, we... and all my insecurities just come out. I was just kidding. I wasn't kidding about the insecurities, but everything else. So I want you to pray for me and also pray for Chris as he delivers that message, this message on the Zor Road campus. So let's pray. God, thank you that you're a good God, and thank you that multiple people are communicating your message today in this Good Shepherd community. And I just pray right now that you would pour this incredible anointing on Chris there, and that the results would be astonishing on the Zor Road campus. And Father, I ask that in that same way that you would pour out a brand new, fresh outpouring of your Spirit on me, fresh and new and full from the bottom of my feet to the top of my head, and that, Lord, the Holy Spirit would be all over this place and we would be awake to his presence, and that I wouldn't be the only one who's been anointed with him, but everyone within the sound of my voice. And I pray these things in the matchless, resurrected, coronated name of Jesus. Amen. So we are all just prisoners here of our own device. A lot of you spend a lot of your days hearing this. On and on it goes all day long. And just when you don't think you can stand it anymore, you don't just hear that. You see stuff like this pop up on your screen, pop up on your device, laptop, desktop, handheld, over and over. And what happens, because I know you, because I know me, what happens when you hear those sounds and you see those sights is that your adrenaline begins to pump and your anxiety begins to swell and you become overcome with this sensation. I must respond to that notification, and I must do it now. If I don't find out who it is who is sending me that message, if I don't discover who it is who has liked my post or loved my thoughts, if I don't discover that, if I don't answer that email and do it now, my life will be over. And then because your adrenaline is pumped and your anxiety is swollen, and you reach out and you grab that device and you find out the answer to your question, what you have experienced, Good Shepherd, is the triumph of the urgent. And so many of us spend the other 167 hours that we have in a week kind of at the mercy of the urgent. We spend our time and we spend our lives letting the urgent have this incredible victory over our lives. Because I don't know if you know this or not, but when we think about our devices, I don't know if you knew this, but the average adult checks his device 110 times a day. And the average teenager checks his 110,000 times a day. Did you know that the average office email, 70% of office emails are answered within 6 seconds, and the other 30% are never answered at all? Or did you know that in a survey of young adults, 54% of them, or 46%, would prefer a broken bone to a broken phone? And the other 54% just have never had a broken phone, so they don't know how they would answer. Yeah, over and over again, we find ourselves at the mercy of the latest, the mostest, the recentest, the urgent. And if you don't know why, you may wonder, well, yeah, what you're describing is pretty true. I'm driving, or I'm sitting on the couch at home, and I hear those sounds, or I see those flashing lights on my device, and I just feel like I've got to respond now. And if you don't know exactly why it is that you feel compelled to respond to the urgent, the answer is dopamine. Dopamine is a chemical in your brain and in my brain. Listen, in every brain that's in here. Every brain in this place has dopamine, and dopamine is the chemical that fires in your brain, and it gives you those feelings of elation and euphoria and purpose and enrichment. All of those. And dopamine is also the part of your brain, the chemical released in your brain that fuels addiction. That it is dopamine that makes a cocaine addict live only for the next line of cocaine. It's dopamine that makes a gambling addict stay at the slot machines for days on end. It's dopamine that makes the person who's already had 3 DUIs drink and drive again. It's dopamine that makes the person with the eating disorder look in the mirror and see excess weight when in reality they're just wasting away. And it's so interesting to me that scientists have taken pictures of human brains in all kinds of activities. And the pictures of human brains of people who are on cocaine or people who are in the middle of pornography or people who are in the middle of gambling and people who are responding to their devices and the pictures of their brains and the dopamine firing in their brains all look exactly the same. And it just goes to show you that really, checking your device in the middle of the day, now you know what it really is, and what it really is a socially acceptable way to have a hit of cocaine in the middle of the day. That is really what's going on. And when you think about how pervasive and how powerful this is, how pervasive it is in our culture and how powerful it is on our brains, you realize that the Eagles really were right. They were just 40 years ahead of their time, that we are all just prisoners here of our own device. When you think about being a prisoner of your device, man, what does it do to your thinking? Not only the content of what you think, we'll get to that, but actually the process of your thinking, how your brain operates. Because if there was ever a phenomenon in our culture that makes the 167 make you kind of clueless about the one, it's this. If there's ever a phenomenon in which there's something in our society that infects and sickens our brain to the point that we really cannot understand who God is or what God is about, it's this. Because I love what 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5 says. This is Paul, and he's writing a letter to the church in Corinth, and this is the same church that he has already told, hey, Corinthians, the wisdom of this world, foolishness in the sight of God. And then Paul goes on in verse 5 of 2 Corinthians 10. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, comma, and we take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. We take our thoughts captive and make them obedient to Christ. But in reality, because of the way that our minds and our thoughts are wired to our devices these days, we're not taking our thoughts captive. They're taking us captive. And the more you and the more I allow the urgent, the now, the latest, the mostest, the nowest, the more we allow that to fill our brain, the more we find the lure of this thing irresistible. Have you thought about what messages are filling your mind all day long off this thing? Whew. You're not enough. You don't have enough. You don't look good enough. Trump is the devil. Trump is the savior. By the way, both those jobs are taken. You're a villain. You're a victim. You're not popular. Over and over it is this hand held shiny idol whose purpose in our lives is to get our adrenaline pumping and get our anxiety swelling. And Lord have mercy, you put out a post. It's kind of like a trial balloon out there for a lot of you, and you think, who's going to like it, who's going to like it? And then you get some likes, and you're like, why don't they love it? Why do they just like it? I want some more loves. And all the while, your anxiety increases. And Lord, those pictures that people post on there, people posting on social media, all those shiny, happy people, because face it, Everybody puts their highlight show up on social media, and you compare their highlight show with your blooper reel, and you always lose. And so, like, it's opening up this daily competition in which you are always coming in second or third or fourth. I love preachers, sort of. And preacher selfies, there'll be a lot of times that preachers will, they'll do this thing, they'll do this thing and take a picture of them in front of the... And it's so funny, the times they choose to take a selfie of them in front of their congregation, it's never on the Sunday after July 4th. It's always on Christmas Eve. When the place is full and the candles and how can you not believe in Jesus? And it's, oh yeah, it's their highlight show. Man, oh man. And what happens is not only does it hold our thoughts captive, even worse, I very firmly believe it moves us to this place where we stop thinking at all. Because what does adrenaline, what does dopamine, what does anxiety do? It takes over your system so that you stop thinking and you start reacting. You stop advancing and you start reacting. All of life becomes response and not advance. And man, the ways in which we lose focus. I remember being in a pastor's kind of conference. There's 25 of us. It was a great thing. They sent us all around the country going to hear great speakers, leading church experts, literally in the world, and 25 of us from this state. But I remember so often being in these meetings and my colleagues, I mean, there we were in rooms with tables and some of the leading church growth, church health experts in the world were pouring themselves into us. And my colleagues, they were like on their phones. They were on their devices the whole time. It's like, what is happening in here is so much more interesting than you who are out there. Now, in those days, I still had a flip phone. And I had an abacus, and I took my notes on papyrus, so I was good. I was dialed in, but yeah. This is just what we do. You know what else it is doing to how we think? It's making us outsource our memories. You thought about that? And when I say outsource our memories, I mean that we use our devices or our computers to check things we already know. Why? Because it's there and because it's easier. Whether it's trivia, whether it's names or numbers, any of those things that we used to back in the good old days, that we used to have to know in our heads, we now have outsourced that memory. And I don't know if you know this, the act of remembering is the same as the act of thinking. And when you outsource your memory, you dull your own mind. And so we're not using the God-given gifts of our brain and the mind that it contains in the way that God has designed for it to be used. Over and over this happens. You know what else, moms and dads? I don't know if you knew this or not, but studies have demonstrated pretty conclusively that there is this incredible linkage in adolescence between device time and levels of anxiety and depression. That the greater the screen time, the greater the levels of anxiety, the greater the levels of depression. It's like this headline from not too long ago, I think we're going to put it up on the screen, that says, smartphone addiction correlated with neurochemical, what's the next word? Imbalance is not good. Imbalances in the brain. So moms and dads, if those devices and those screens have become your de facto babysitters, you're increasing anxiety. You're preparing the way for depression. And I want better and I want different for you. Now, I'm not advocating we go back to the 1500s. This isn't a message all about the good old days. Though, speaking of the 1500s, I don't know if you knew this or not. This is 1500s are when the tradition of June weddings started. And they started having June weddings in the 1500s because in that era, in May, was when people took their annual baths. Let's just pause right there. Would you say those two words, annual baths, after me? Okay. annual bath. Lord have mercy. And so that was in May, and by June, the smell had not gotten too bad yet, and the bouquet was there to hide the smell that was developing in June. You don't have to leave an extra offering for that information, though I know you're really glad for it. But I'm not advocating going back to the 1500s. I want to go back to some words before the 1500s. I want to go back to some words that Jesus spoke. That he spoke to a crowd that was full of anxiety, that was wondering about worry, a crowd full of people who wanted approval, who wanted affirmation. When you think about it, he was speaking to a crowd full of people, the same as us, and the irony is so many of us end up going looking to this thing for approval, for affirmation, for peace of mind, and all those are the very things this deprives us of. And speaking to an audience that was looking for that same kind of thing, Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, Jesus says this, seek first a million followers. Did he say that? Seek first 5,000 friends on Facebook because then it stops counting. Seek first to go viral. Is that what he says? No. Seek first, what? The kingdom and his righteousness. And all these other things will be given to you as well. Which means if you seek first information and affirmation and applause, you'll never get them. If your goal in life is to be happy, happiness will always slip through your fingers. But when you seek first union with God, having your life defined by Jesus' life and death and resurrection and coronation, that is the cornerstone of your life. You seek that first to know as God knows and to think as God thinks. Well, then, as a consequence, as a byproduct, as a happy result, all that other stuff will get thrown in as well. Jesus is saying, why would you fritter away all of your time thinking about things that are urgent, being addicted to the now, when you can have the forever? You pursue the forever with everything you have, and you get all that trivial stuff that you spend time worrying about anyway. Which really gives rise to this question, what I want to ask all of you who are prisoners of your device, it's this. Why be captives of the urgent when you can be captured by the ultimate? Why in the world would you willingly allow yourselves to be captives of the urgent? I've got to answer. I got to respond. I got to do this now. When you can be captured by the ultimate, the one who is ultimate. You see, the urgent stuff, it'll never last. The ultimate one, he'll never end. That urgent stuff, it'll never love you back. Oh, I love my iPhone 7 so much, I got to have an iPhone 9, iPhone 10, I don't know, whatever. Whatever one I don't have, that's the one I got to have. It'll never love you back. Jesus always loved you first. Why be captive of the urgent when you can be captured by the one who is ultimate? See, my great prayer is that the people of Good Shepherd would be so dialed in to this understanding that the most important thing in my life did not happen in my life. Most important thing in my life really is Jesus' life and death and resurrection and coronation. And the journey of my life is to grow closer to him, not some kind of corny cliche, but this really is the defining reality of my life. What was the great thing that we kept reading about Billy Graham all this week is this marvelous quote that I've been using in funerals for years. I didn't even know it was his. That when you see someone's dead, you realize, no. When they die in Christ, they're more alive than they've ever been before. And again, that's not a cliche. That's not a coping mechanism. That's the deepest truth in the universe. People who die in Christ are more alive than they have ever been before. They're younger now than they were before they died. And you only understand that when you stop bothering with all of the urgent and all of the now and all of the latest. And you decide, yeah, that which is ultimate deserves my life, deserves my attention, deserves my focus. It really makes me think of that time that Henry Aaron, y'all remember Hammerin' Hank Aaron? He was up to bat one time, and they were playing the Yankees, the Braves were playing the Yankees, and Yogi Berra was the catcher right behind him and below him. And Yogi Berra, in case you didn't know, is a talker. So Aaron is up there to bat, and Yogi Berra is behind him, below him, and Yogi Berra starts talking to Henry Aaron, and he says, "Hank, the writing on your bat is facing the wrong way. It needs to be facing you." No answer from Aaron. And Yogi Berra keeps on talking. Hank, the writing on your bat, it's got to be facing you. I'm worried about your health. No answer from Aaron. Bear keeps talking. "Hank, I'm really concerned for you. I want to make sure you turn your bat so that the writing is facing you." Not a word. One more pitch. Whomp! Up and away over the fence for one of the record 755 unsteroided home runs that Hank Aaron hit. And as he rounds the bases and he came around the home plate and he ran by Yogi Berra and he said, "I didn't come here to read." And you didn't come here to fritter. You didn't come here to waste. You didn't come here to be so wrapped up in the latest email. You didn't come here to have your self-esteem defined by how many likes or loves or friends you have. That God brought you here so that you would understand that the greatest privilege of your life is surrendering to the one who is ultimate and growing more and more and more like him so that you think as God thinks and believe as God would have you believe. Why be captive of the urgent which is killing you? When you can be captured by one who is ultimate. So if I can, and I can because I'm the one up here talking, if I can, I want to get real practical with you for just a couple of moments. And as I get very, very practical, feel free to write these things down because again, I'm not advocating going back to the 1500s. I'm not even advocating getting rid of your devices, though for some of you, that would be an act of great wisdom. But here's what I am advocating. Number one, turn the sound off. Turn the sound off. Do you hear that? Nope. Oh, yeah, you heard that. Thank you. She heard that. But what you didn't hear was all those notifications, all the bells and whistles. You remove one sense from the mix, and you'd be amazed at how much it does to lower anxiety and to soften adrenaline. Second, We talk in this church, and if you're brand new, it's okay. We're glad you're here. But we talk in this church about first 15, giving God the first 15 minutes of the day. And now I just want to couple that with the last 15 as well. Because I don't know if you knew that. If you give God the first 15 and your last 15 before you go to bed are spent on your screen, screen time before bedtime is like taking a caffeine pill instead of an Ambien. It amps you all up right before you go to bed. So I just want to invite you to give God the first 15 and the last 15, considering he's the one who gives you all 24 hours. Giving him those 30 minutes isn't too much. Can I hear an amen for that? Third, remove it from your body. The more your device is attached to your body, the more it will feel like it is an appendage. The more it will feel like it is part of you. Keep it in a different room. When you're driving, keep it in the back seat. Do whatever it takes to create physical space as often as you can between you and your shiny silver idol. And then fourth, whenever you that urge to surrender to the urgent is like irresistible, I must answer now, I must answer now, just repeat the mantra, the urgent is not the important, the urgent is not the important, the urgent is not the important. You know, our devices were invented about 11 or 12 years ago. The human race got along pretty well without them for a long, long time. The urgent is not the important, and that will help you make that left turn in heavy traffic in greater safety than responding to the urgent, and that moment will anyway. Maybe more than anything else is this recognition that we will be captured by the one who is ultimate as our minds are filled with Scripture. And there's something about memorizing Scripture, having the Word planted in your mind and on your heart that goes so far to replacing all the junk that the world keeps throwing your way. And so I thought we could begin a Scripture memory in your own life. We could begin it here and now with a great verse, a verse that describes not only the gospel, but the benefits of the gospel. And it's the one that we've been using, Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. We're going to throw it back up on the screen and let's read it out loud and together. Let's go. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you as well. Sorry, I memorized it, learning added unto you as well. It's very hard to change, but I'll do it for you all. Now, we've given you a lot of room on your program, a lot of room. What I want you to do, because we're going to keep it up on the screen, I want you to write, locate a writing utensil, and write that verse down on all of these lines that we've provided for you, because there's something about the process of writing that goes so far to aiding your memory. So go ahead, and just in these moments, and you'll notice it'll be quiet here because we believe in that. It's a great sight, all of you doing this diligent work. And now we have recited it. We've written it. Now, as best you can, without looking in your program, and we'll take it down from the screen now, really challenge you. Let's declare it together. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. That is being captured by the ultimate. Let's pray. So, Lord Jesus, thank You that You designed our brains. And thank You that You have so much better in mind than sacrificing our brains on the altar of dopamine. God, I pray that as we put Your word in our minds, You would open them up to think as You think, to pursue what You pursue, to love what You love, and that all of us would be captured by You. In Your name we pray.